I'm Master at Life and Weight Loss Coach, Jillian Lama, and you're listening to the Body You Crave podcast, where you'll learn how to end emotional eating, lose excess weight, and feel amazing in your body. No cheating required. Keep listening, and I'll show you how.
Hey, hey, welcome back, and hello from the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee, where I am recording this episode. So we'll see how the audio holds up. Last time I tried to record while traveling and it did not end up working out, and that's okay. I just re-recorded it later, but we're going to give this a shot again. So it is freezing cold outside. I am getting ready to go on a hike. It is Christmas Eve, and I have this magical retreat planned for myself here in the mountains. And so I'm spending 2 days at a cabin, and so I have a hike that I'm going to do this morning. And I took my niece and my mom on this hike last year, and we did it the day after Christmas, but we didn't make it all the way up. We got close to the summit to where the waterfalls are, but we didn't quite make it all the way up. And so I'm going to go back and do that. And then in having dinner last night, I was talking with a guy who recommended another waterfall. So I've got a fun day planned of hiking, moonshine tasting, doing all the things. And then I'm going to enjoy this kind of spa retreat in the woods, in the mountains, and a hot tub, and spend Christmas in a very luxurious way, even though it's by myself this year. And I will likely do a whole episode just on this experience because it really is 50-50. This is my first year of Christmas without having my son. And so there's a lot of mixed emotions from the year, emotions I'm still processing through with the divorce, emotions that I'm recognizing and really looking at my coping mechanism of using male validation and male attention to prove and earn and justify how I'm good enough. It was like that was my coping mechanism. Instead of turning to food to meet my emotional needs, I recognized this habit and this pattern of searching for men and men's interest in me to meet my emotional needs. And this has been going on a long time. This years and years, like even when I was in relationships, even when I was married or I was dating, I was still always scanning, either subconsciously, I think it was a very subconscious level, but I could catch myself doing it of like looking for, are guys looking at me? Do they think I'm pretty? Like scanning, even though I was in a very happy relationship. And so recognizing it's not about the person that I was with, it was about me, and now working very intentionally on these things. And so as I am taking away this coping mechanism very consciously so that it can bring up all the emotions that I need to process and work through, I need to allow myself time and space to do that. So anyways, this is totally off topic, not what I was planning to talk about today, but it's important that we recognize like things might feel harder. Things might like the holidays, different emotions, anniversaries of people's death or a divorce or a relationship ending or any kind of type of like loss or grief that we may be processing through, any kind of change or change in a dynamic might feel harder and more emotional because we are no longer self-soothing in the ways that we used to. We're no longer turning to food or alcohol the way that we used to numb the pain, to numb the void, or to fill the void rather. We're no longer turning to men and dating apps and relationships to distract us, to fill a void, to pretend like we are enough. We are happy with who we are without fully allowing ourselves to step into that and be that for ourselves first. And this goes both ways with both genders. Men can feel this towards women, just like women can feel it towards men. And so I've noticed extra emotion coming up this year that I wasn't quite expecting. And, you know, I'm just going to start talking. I had a whole other episode planned, but that's all right. Apparently, this is what I need to talk about. And I want to share this because I think sometimes we feel like it's been a year, it's been 2 years, we've been separated for 5 years. It's been this amount of time. I should be over it by now. This shouldn't still be bothering me. This has been the norm for so long. Why does this still bother me? And we can be wrestling with what's going on in life and what's happening, whether it's our kids or our current, like a current partner, maybe an ex-spouse. We could see things with like our jobs, careers, business. It just keeps coming back around. And we can also feel this with food a lot. Why do I still have these urges? Why do I still have these cravings? Why do I still have this pull towards the food or towards the alcohol? And we can get really down on ourselves. We can have a lot of shame and a lot of, it can turn into embarrassment, into regret, into self-loathing, just like I talked about last week, and how we really want to allow ourselves to believe new things. And it feels hard because we don't want to feel disappointed, because it's not just the disappointment, it's what that often leads to. It's not just these kind of low-level discomfort emotions, it's the self, like beating ourselves up with the shame, with the judgment that comes afterwards, right? So it's, I'm disappointed because I didn't hit my goal, which then leads to the catastrophizing of maybe I'm never going to hit it. Maybe I'm just not meant to live in a smaller body. Maybe I'm just never meant to have a healthy relationship because I keep getting into these toxic relationships with other people, or I keep calling in and attracting the same red flags and not being able to turn away. Like this is where we really want to understand and recognize where the judgment is coming in, where the catastrophizing is coming in, because this is really what's holding us back. It's not just the surface layer or the low level emotions. It's what that leads to. It's the domino effect that tapping that one over leads to knocking down all of these other emotions. And I have recognized that there have been like waves of emotions coming recently. And there were some bigger waves around processing grief and sorrow and loss, finding a sticky note. I think I mentioned this in when I did the podcast, when you lose somebody, like when you, there's a loss of life. And I found a sticky note of my ex-boyfriend who died, and it brought on this huge wave of emotions that I was not expecting, because there's the loss of him. There's the loss of the future I thought we were going to have. There's the loss of who I thought he was. There's betrayal mixed in there. There's this kind of reconciling of the lies and the deep, profound, like the deep hurt, the deep pain, this deep betrayal. And that's what we really have to allow ourselves to experience. And so there was this bigger wave that came as I was decorating for Christmas. And it was one of those things that I wasn't expecting it. We're going about our day. Things are going fine. Everything's moving along. We're feeling good. And then it's not out of nowhere, but then we're met face to face with this emotion. And now there's, because we are intentionally removing the food, removing the alcohol, removing the other relationships, the external validation, if we now come face to face with those emotions. And since then, there have been a lot of really good days, a lot of really smooth days. But I noticed this past weekend, there were a lot of tears on Sunday. And I was laughing with my coach because for a little while, for the month of September, there were a couple weeks where I was avoiding church because I just felt like I couldn't keep it together. And there were a couple weeks that I skipped on purpose because I knew I was just going to be sobbing. I was just going to be a mess. And it got easier and easier. But when I was talking with my coach, I told her, I was like, I'm the sobbing lady at church every single weekend. I'm the new girl who can't stop crying. This is awesome. One of the things that I also remembered was like me crying and allowing myself to cry and to feel all the emotions, to feel the Holy Spirit moving and working in me and through me, that is giving permission to other people as well. And just notice, right, like the self-consciousness that we have around crying and feeling our emotions, even someplace like church where we're supposed to have all this love. I still feel judged because there's internal judgment of myself. Okay, so anyways, I've been the crying lady at church for a long time. And then there were a couple of weeks where I was like, I was not the crying lady today. But a couple of weeks ago, one of the pastors was talking about feeling grief during the holidays. And one of the things that I absolutely love about this church is that while, and I did talk a little bit in my stories about how we don't have to be joyful all the time. We don't have to choose joy. Like, I really want to emphasize, like, we have to allow these emotions even during the holidays. And I think sometimes we are being encouraged to gaslight and railroad over our emotions. And I don't think that is the conscious thought, but it's Jesus's joy, choose joy. And sometimes we're just not in a place to choose joy. Sometimes that's not what is healthy and healing for us, and that's okay. So maybe we need to choose another emotion. And maybe before we get to joy, we have to choose something that's more neutral, something like peace or acceptance or trust in God or faith in God or gratitude that even though we don't see a way out, even though we can't see how this could possibly turn out well, even though it feels so hard and so heavy, we trust that God is in control, that He will give you the desires of your heart. It just might not look like what you think it should, which is something that I learned a long time ago when I had this desire to start a bakery. And God gave me that desire. It just didn't look like what I thought it should, because I started that bakery in Bangladesh, in a third world country. But ever since then, I've recognized that. And one of the other things that I believe wholeheartedly is that God will sometimes takes you where you don't want to go to create in you what could not have been done any other way. Sometimes God is moving you and guiding you and directing you because that is what you need to go through in order to get you to take this next step and move in this next direction. And I think about it, and I see so many examples of this in my life. But in particular, I remember in high school, it was the summer, the very end of eighth grade, going into the summer before my freshman year of high school. We were living in Ohio, and both my parents lost their jobs within a month of each other. And they both stayed jobless for months throughout the entire summer. We had the church paying our mortgage, which I did not realize. The pastor and the pastor's assistant came by to drop off food from the food bank, and I looked at them like, we don't need this. I was completely oblivious to the financial problems that my parents were facing, which on one hand, I had a lot of credit to them because I was very sensitive to money and money issues and things like that, and really developed strong money mindset issues from a young age. But anyways, our next domino, the next point in our journey was that we needed to move overseas. And that was such a pivotal domino because from that decision to take our family overseas, my mom joined the Foreign Service, my sister met her husband, I met my husband, my youngest sister grew up with a totally different environment, right? Like it was such a pivotal role and such a pivotal thing in just my experience growing up in life. It shaped what I wanted to do, the degree that I pursued, where I went to college. And while there were a lot of challenges, it was also something that needed to happen. And I think God knew there was no way in hell my mom was going to move us to Ohio from California, where she was from, where both my parents are from. No way was she going to move us across the country and then move us across to the complete opposite side of the world unless there was literally no other option. There was literally no other option but to pursue this. And I think you could look back and you could feel like such a failure. Why couldn't we find another job? Why didn't she get hired or my dad get hired for one of these other jobs, even in another state? I remember they were talking about potentially moving to Texas. There were other jobs in other states, other things that they were pursuing, and for one reason or another, they didn't work out. And it could feel, I'm sure it felt like they were being punished. But really, that's what needed to happen in order to get us where we needed to be, in order to get us on this path that was such a pivotal domino. Okay? So it's like a little side tangent, but you might be in a place right now where there's pain and anguish and agony, and not all of the time, right? Like life is 50-50. 50% positive emotions, 50% negative emotions. And it might be in different areas of life. It might be that we just experience different waves of emotions at different times. Typically, it's not that our entire world is falling apart. It might feel like a particular area isn't going well, but some areas are still going really well, especially when we are honest and we really look for it. We can find it. But it's okay that there is pain and there's heartache right now. And so one of the things that I think they did well throughout this Advent season, the pastors at my church, was really bringing in and talking about how this is a time of grief for some people. And just because it's the holidays doesn't mean that you're happy and joyful all the time. It doesn't mean that there is no heartache, that there's no suffering, that there's no pain. And so there was one sermon around joy, and sometimes we have to choose joy. And I want to offer, sometimes we just have to choose neutral. We choose peace. We choose acceptance. Sometimes joy is not always the right choice. And maybe it is for you, right? But don't feel bad if it's not, I think is like my main thing. Don't feel like you have to gaslight yourself into feeling joyful or it's this, I'm a good Christian, or I trust God, I believe in God, and I should choose joy because look at all that I have to be grateful for. And it's just really being aware of the subtle gaslighting that might come in. Okay, that's my only thought there. But overall, I would say the pastors, the church has done a really good job of weaving in the story of it might not be the most joyful time of the year, and that's okay. So anyways, it's taking me a very long time to get to this story. Sorry. So this was a couple weeks ago, and I think this was, two Sundays ago, they asked that if anybody needed prayer, if they were just in a point in their life where they were experiencing some pain and they wanted prayer, they asked them to stand. And if they wanted to stand in place of somebody else who they knew was struggling, to stand too. So you could stand for yourself or you could stand in place of somebody and they were going to pray for them. And this woman in front of me, she stood up. And I'm going to get teary-eyed just like retelling the story, but she stood and she's standing for a minute or two. And then her husband stands up next to her and gives her this big hug and is praying with her. And it's just such a sweet, sweet symbol and something that like I know that I want in my life. Like I know that the person that I want in my life, the man that I'm going to marry is somebody that I can hold hands with at church, who's going to stand with me when we pray, and who's going to have so much love and so much compassion through the hard times, through the struggles, and somebody who's not going to say, you have no right to feel stressed. Look how good your life is. What are you complaining about? You should be so grateful. Any woman would kill to be in your shoes. I am no longer going to put up with somebody gaslighting me about having a human emotion, about having a human response, because I am not a robot. And it's this like deep longing and deep desire to have somebody like that in my life and just to see that displayed before me. So she is crying. I'm crying. I don't even know her. I don't know her name. I couldn't find tissues. I couldn't find tissues for me or I was going to at least offer her a tissue. Could not find tissues. Went home, put them in my bag. Thank goodness. Because then last weekend, or no, I guess this was 2 weekends ago because they were, yes. Okay. So that was 3 weekends. Then there was last weekend. Or there was a weekend where I was like, sometimes we don't have to choose joy. And then there was last weekend. And we had a pastor from a different campus come and speak. And she was also sharing her testimony of her first marriage and having her daughter and then her daughter dying, just being a couple months old. And later finding out that it was at the hands of her then husband. And just that the empath in me just couldn't help but tear up. It was like, it was just so heartbreaking to hear the story. And so I went up to, and I could feel then as we were singing and praying then at the end of the service, like there were already tears, but then to go up to her and to talk with her afterwards, she looked at me and she, I don't remember now if she asked, how are you? But like my eyes just filled with tears. And it was like, I couldn't even say it, get a word out. And she just stood there and looked at me with so much love and just knowing that there's so much emotion this time, like in this year. And I don't fully understand it all. I don't know. I don't even know what all the emotions are, but it's just that willingness to allow them. And to trust that part of the way that your body regulates your nervous system is through crying. our bodies will sometimes shake to release the cortisol. Sometimes our bodies will cry, and it's a way that your body is trying to reset and get back to the state of equilibrium. And we have to be willing to allow it no matter what. And so here I am again, the crying lady at church. And really like making peace with that. Like I was so proud of myself when I stopped being the crying lady. And then I started again. And it's really about not making that a problem. And trusting that God has a plan. And I can't see it all right now. And one of the other beautiful things is, this was almost a week ago now, I saw a post from somebody and she was walking through like the timeline of getting divorced and finding her new spouse. And like now they're engaged and we're getting ready to send out invitations, but it's been several years. And it was just so encouraging to see how like I'm in the still in the beginning stages of this healing journey and finding somebody healthy to build a life with and really trusting that it might take a couple years. It might take 2 years or 5 years or 10 years. Really, I would prefer if it took 5 years or less. Like really, I'm going to turn 40 next year, which is wild and insane to think about. But there's a part of me that's like, yeah, by the time I'm 45, I would really like to be remarried to a healthy person. But ultimately, if it takes me to be 48 or 50, I'm here for it. Like I am here for the right person. And part of me is I really don't think it's going to take that long because I keep refining now my ability to see my own patterns, to catch it, to break away, to pivot faster. Like I see this now clearer and clearer, and it's helping me to move through it, to find the right person, and especially to recognize in myself the patterns of love bombing where it used to feel so good. That is what I thought love was. And I have made huge strides and there's been huge progress in recognizing all of these phases. And I can't even remember, I don't remember now if I talked about this on the podcast. It might have just been on Instagram, but I went from not knowing what love bombing was, but to experiencing it and probably giving it as well. Like I think with love bombing, there's two people interacting and I was like speeding things and being very quick to jump into like love and this relationship and it meant marriage and all these things. So it was like, there was very much me interacting and engaging in the love bombing too, right? But like to be love bombed and to not know what it was for years and then to have the awareness and to step out of that pattern, out of that cycle. And then in recent dating, in the last, hasn't even been a year and a half, it's been like 15 months, to know what love bombing was, to experience it and not know that's what I was experiencing. And then to know what love bombing was, to experience it, and then to also question, oh, I think this is love bombing, but subconsciously and deep down, it's like, but this feels so good, so I really don't want it to be. I'm just going to pretend like it's not. Even though it definitely was. To then being love bombed, recognizing what it was and being like, oh, so many red flags. Nope, I need to walk away. And it taking a couple weeks and then walking away. And then having it happen again and feeling like experiencing the love bombing and knowing what it was and not even fully in that moment, but having somebody else point out to me what it was. And then I was like, oh my gosh. And being able to walk away within a couple days and to walk away from what feels like love, what feels like safety and security and commitment and this deep desire that I have for a partner and for somebody who's gonna see me and love me for who I am. If you look at, and I think some of the like Love is Blind series are silly, but also so fun to watch. And there was one girl a few years ago where she was like, I just want somebody to love me for me. And I think that's what so many of us long for is I just want somebody to love me for who I am. And we really have to question like, how much do you love yourself for who you are? Flaws and all, overeating and all, overdrinking and all. And the way that you show up, the way that you handle your overeats and your overdrinking, the way that you talk to yourself the next day, the next week, the way that you talk to yourself when you look in the mirror or when you step on the scale or when you try on a pair of pants that don't quite fit, that shows you your level of self-love. It's those moments that are going to show you your blind spots. It's those moments that are going to bring out all of the your real, honest, true thoughts. And we really have to work on loving ourselves first for who we are so that we are not needing that from somebody else. We are filling all of our own voids first. That way, when somebody comes along, they are not filling voids, they are not filling holes, they are not completing us, they are complementing. They are coming alongside and seeing everything you already see in your life, but you no longer need them to prove or justify or earn anything about yourself, anything about your worthiness or how good you are or how smart or thin or pretty you are. They are no longer that validation source because you have learned to become it for yourself first. And so anyways, it is just, it's been a bit emotional this month in ways that I wasn't fully expecting, really starting from the beginning of December. I was gone for, I did miss 1 week. I think this is our first week of Advent. Caleb and I were traveling and I did miss that first day at church. But ever since then, like really feeling more of the Holy Spirit and more of the emotions that are just, they're coming up. And they're coming up because I'm not turning to food or alcohol, or overspending, or overworking, or a dating app, or a boyfriend, or male attention and validation. And I still catch myself scanning the room sometimes, or scanning and like looking for, are men noticing me? Do they pay attention? Do they, am I likable enough? And that's okay. Like I'm working to rewire that pattern and rewire that habit, but that has been like, that radar has been out and scanning and searching for decades. So it's going to take some time to reprogram, like very intentionally. And so as we go into the holidays now, here we are, Christmas Eve, heading into Christmas Day. And I'm so excited for this retreat that I'm on. I'm in the mountains by myself, but it's going to bring up a lot of emotions. And I know that. And it's not just going to be sadness or loneliness, but one of the things that I recognized in what I felt, what emotional needs men were meeting for me, it was feeling special, feeling wanted, feeling desired, feeling like I was enough. And there's just something about this, I am special. He saved my number and texted me a couple months later. I feel so special. When somebody else might look at that and be like, bro, it took you 3 months to text me. Are you kidding me? Like, we could look at this any number of ways, but just recognizing how I, like, that was one of the big things for me that I didn't realize until I stopped to process all of this of like really who I was dating, people that I have dated recently, like since the divorce, what I felt in my, I don't know if I went back to my first marriage. It may have been my second. But really starting to recognize here are the holes that are being filled. Here are these emotions that are getting met and these deep core cravings that are being met when I'm dating somebody, when I'm with them, when I'm interacting with them, especially this thought of they could have anyone that they want and they're choosing me. So this concept and this idea of he's choosing me and therefore I feel special. And it was this cycle of I feel special because I'm chosen and I'm chosen because I'm special, right? There's something about that aspect. And I think that's really, really important for me to see. But feeling loved, feeling desired or wanted, and this desire to be like seen and heard and valued. It's like I wanted to be desired and wanted, not just for my body, not just for my physical looks. I wanted to be valued for the character of who I am. I want to feel calm and peace. And then there's this aspect of chosen. I felt chosen with certain people. I definitely felt that in recent relationships. And it's like that chosen special cycle. Let's see. I'm going through because I actually made a note on my phone of what were some of these things. Feeling smart, feeling valued for like my business thoughts, for my coaching skills. Yeah. And then the being chosen. And it's also why being rejected feels so painful. Because if I'm being rejected, if somebody doesn't want a date with me, if they don't want a second date, it's they are not choosing me. And that's why the rejection feels hard. So it was interesting. It's good to see this for me and how it comes up with relationships and with men, but it's also good for me to recognize that, okay, does this come up in like female relationships and friendships? Does this come up in my business and with clients? How does this come up in my business? Feeling special when I had a client who he had said something like, I must have looked at 100 profiles and I feel like you are the best one to help. And so it's this, I'm special and now I'm chosen, and recognizing this pattern. And this is where it would be really easy to overlook the red flags if I just was looking for and searching out that feeling special, feeling chosen. And that's what makes it so hard to walk away, because it taps on the rejection. It taps on these really core abandonment wounds that I have to heal first, which is why I believe that just like with food, right? Like with food, sometimes we want to take away the food and we want to take it out of the house while we're working on our relationship with it. So as I was working on my binge eating and overeating habit, working to heal a lot of my diet rules, I took out peanut butter because that was one of the foods I would binge on a lot because I was under eating. So my body was craving and so desired high energy food like nuts and nut butter. So nuts, mixed nuts, I took those out for a little while. And then ice cream, that was another thing that I removed for a time. And when I reintroduced it in smaller pre-portioned packages. So smaller like packs of like nuts, smaller pre-portioned nut butters, smaller pre-portioned things of ice cream, or usually it was like an ice cream bar, or it was like I would go out for frozen yogurt. So it's, I'm going to go get one thing of frozen yogurt. And then my thought was, okay, I can eat half and enjoy, and then I'm going to put the other half back in the freezer. That way I can enjoy this again tomorrow. And so it was for me really working on this. It's not a problem to eat it. I can have this anytime I want. And when I really healed and stopped trying to starve myself, when I really gave myself permission to eat food and to listen to my body and to trust it and trust that I could lose weight and still eat carbs, it really was such a game changer. And it really helped me in healing my binge eating and overeating habits, because my body was just hungry. Just like we can be hungry for food, we can be hungry for love. And there are going to be times when, okay, so anyway, so I brought back the food in pre-portioned, and then I was able to bring it back in without it necessarily needing to be pre-portioned. But I'm still working on that relationship with it. It's not, oh, it's just magically fixed. There's still that interaction and that dynamic. If I still maintain like ice cream, I don't eat out of the container with a spoon. I still put it into a cup. I still put it into a bowl. I still will portion it out. So it's like having these new food rules that serve me. So the food rule is not around what I can and can't eat. It's about how I'm going to eat it and what's going to help me be more mindful and aware of what I'm doing and more mindful and aware of the emotional eating. And the more that I allow the emotions, the less I need the food to soothe, the more I'm comfortable in these emotions and I'm no longer trying to fight or resist or avoid them. But I'm still working on that relationship with food as I'm bringing it back into my life. So it's not that I just take away the food and things magically change. We have to be doing the work all the way through. which is what I also believe about dating. So taking a break from dating now, I'm going to be working, like I'm doing the internal work on, like, without a partner, without a boyfriend, without a man in my life right now. And I know I'm still going to keep doing the work when I start dating at some point, whether that's next year or the year after, whatever that looks like. I'm still going to have work to do when I reintroduce men back into my life, but I'm going to do that mental emotional work starting now when he's not in my life to make sure that I fill those holes, I fill those voids, I fill the needs myself. Just like with food, we can't just take away the coping mechanism without doing any of the mental emotional mindset work. We have to do that and then reintroduce the food. Because so often we just want to take the food out of the house, but we don't. It's just this like game of out of sight, out of mind. If I could just have the willpower, just don't think about it. But we don't ever change our relationship to the food. We don't ever change how we interact with it. And that's really the problem. So there's so much connection. I see so much connection and crossover between dating and relationships and food and filling needs, filling holes, filling these voids in our life. And it's very common that if you are in an emotionally neglectful relationship, it may not have been abusive, it may not have been toxic, but you may just have been emotionally neglected. It's really easy to turn to food to avoid feeling lonely, to turn to food when you did feel lonely. And then it becomes this preemptive measure. So it might be, I feel lonely, I don't want to feel this anymore. And so then food fills that void or alcohol fills that gap. And then it turns into a preemptive thing of, I don't want to feel this way. And really all we're looking to is to feel better in the moment. And the way that you feel better in the moment is to allow yourself to feel all the emotions, to feel the pain, to feel the hurt, to feel the rejection, to feel the loneliness, even when you're still in that marriage, even when you are still in that relationship, to allow yourself to experience it all. And this is what I help people do, because this has been my journey. It's been my path. I've done it with food. I've done it with alcohol. I'm now doing it with men and relationships and getting better and better at it. And this is good because our brain, if we don't work on healing those internal parts of us, we will just keep looking for a new coping mechanism. And we're going to overwork and overspend, and we're going to be turning to these other things in order to try to feel better rather than just allowing the emotions to be there in our body, to feel the vibrations, to feel that emotion, and to know and to trust that nothing has gone wrong. And we don't always, so I think it's important and it can be helpful to understand and to start to name what is it that I'm feeling in this moment and why, like to understand it. But sometimes we don't need that. Like right now at this, over the holidays, I'm like, I don't know exactly what I'm feeling, but there's emotion. And there are emotions that I just need to allow. I just need to sit with. I just need to process through and not make that a problem. And yeah, it was not, totally had a different episode planned for today. That's all right. But this is what it's all about. If you want to heal your emotional eating, your binge eating, your overeating, if you want to heal your relationship with your body, with the scale, with the mirror, with how you think and talk to yourself now and as you lose the weight, this is the work. We've got to do this emotional work. Because it's not just about losing 40 pounds or 60 pounds. It's not just about the physical weight. It's the mental and the emotional weight we have to lose. Just like with a divorce, it's not just about the legal divorce. It's divorcing old patterns, old mindsets, old beliefs. It's divorcing yourself from the thoughts and the opinions of somebody else that you now keep telling yourself that you have adopted as your own. And we like to pretend and say that, oh, he's living in my brain. And yeah, to some extent, he's living rent-free in your brain. And there comes a point where now they are your thoughts. Now it is no longer his. He has not said those words to you in years. So it's no longer him, babe. And we got to stop pretending. It's not him. It's you. So can you now take radical responsibility and take radical control over your life and over what you tell yourself. And you can. I know you can. But if you would like some help with this, this is what I do with clients. Because I'm going to help you lose the mental, emotional, and physical weight. I'm going to help you create the life and body you crave. And this is how we do it, is by recognizing and starting to notice what's coming up for you and why, so that you can start to meet those needs for yourself and you don't need anybody else to meet them for you. You don't need anything else to meet them for you. And we want to notice when we have been impatient, when we have wanted to hurry up and get there. I was actually talking to a friend this past week. We were talking back and forth on Voxer, and I love the Voxer app so much. This is one of the things that I use with clients in between sessions, because it allows us to leave voice messages. And so one of the things that she had said was like, you know what? I just need to be done with this. I just need to decide this is no longer going to bother me anymore. But it was something that was very deeply hurtful and painful. There was deep hurt, deep pain, deep rejection when this incident happened. And then there were some additional incidents that happened after that. And I was like, look, I was like, I know you want to be done with this. I don't think this is a one and done. I don't think that you are at the point right now where this will never come up again. Part of her process and her journey, in my opinion, is to allow the emotion and to allow it to feel it and to process it all the way through and to give herself the permission to feel it, to feel the pain and hurt, to feel the anger. So many of my clients were never allowed to feel angry. They weren't allowed by their spouse. They weren't allowed by their church. They weren't allowed by a parent. I'm going to put allowed in quotes here. But it was like they felt like they were not allowed to be angry. And now there's decades worth of anger underneath how they're feeling. And anger is really at the top. Underneath, there's really deeper emotions underneath the anger. This is one of the things that I noticed with my ex, actually, my ex-husband, was if he got angry, it often was because he felt disrespected. There was underneath that, it was like his anger covered up when he felt not good enough. And it was something that I started to notice at the very tail end of our marriage. I'm like, oh, this would have been helpful to know a while ago. But it's always covering up something else. And you are not wrong for your anger. You are not bad for your anger. But we have been told that certain emotions are okay and some are not. You have no right to be angry. You have no right to be stressed. You should just be more grateful. There's so much that comes up, but this is the work. Not the burpees, not the running, not the HIIT workouts, not the CrossFit, not the whatever. This is the work. It's losing the mental and emotional weight that's going to allow you to lose the physical weight. And I promise I can help you do this. I've done this work and I'm still doing this work. And now in maintenance, now as I maintain my weight, I'm doing more healing and more internal work on relationships, on coping mechanisms, on things that I didn't realize were coming up. And this is so important because, again, if you can take away that coping mechanism, you can take away the food, but if you don't work on it, if you don't work on healing those parts of you, you're just going to find a new coping mechanism to turn to until you get to the point where you can face your demons, where you can face all the emotions and trust that you can feel anything and it's not going to kill you. It's not going to stay around for long. It's actually, and the more you feel it, the more you allow it, the faster you move through it. The quicker you move through it in the future, the longer the time between these things happens. So it's like these waves of emotion, they come in and then they flow out. They come in and they flow out. And the more you allow it, the quicker they recede. The longer the time between those waves of the big emotion. And we never make ourselves wrong for experiencing them. We stop telling ourselves things like, I should be over this by now. This still shouldn't be bothering me. His voice should not still be in my head. Or maybe it's her voice should not still be in my head. But it's there. So stop fighting, stop resisting, stop gaslighting yourself, and accept this now is, this is what's going on. And here's how I'm going to take control. Here's what I can do to control this. Here's how I'm going to shift. Here's how I'm going to pivot. Here's what I'm going to tell myself. And you get to decide and tell yourself, I don't believe that anymore. I don't tell myself these things anymore. That is just something that I don't do. That's not acceptable. It would be like if somebody came up to you on the street and started cussing in your face or cussing at your child, you would be like, that's a no. This ends right here. I don't care who you are or what you think is happening, but this is not acceptable. Like, you have that same stern voice with all the shit talk you give yourself, with all the words that you want to pretend are somebody else's that you have adopted as your own. And the first step is recognizing, this is not my voice. These are not my words. I no longer tell myself this. I know it feels true. I know this feels hard, but I am no longer going to let myself say these things to me anymore. I'm done. That's where you take back your power. That's where you have control. So if you want some help with this, so that you can lose all the weight, all the layers of the weight, then come work with me. I am accepting one-on-one clients right now. That is my only offer for the foreseeable future, is just one-on-one coaching with me. I really love the experience of working with somebody one-on-one to help them understand and identify what their, what are these underlying patterns and these habits and the pain and the awareness that we can have, and seeing how so much of it overlaps and intersects with other areas of life, to find the true healing, to understand the core wounds that we experienced and how those are now core cravings that we keep trying to meet with food. We keep trying to meet with people. We keep trying to meet in these other ways. And to really heal those parts of yourself. That creates such amazing transformation. If you want to do this work, if you are ready to lose the physical weight in 2025, this is your time. Let's do it. Your next best step is to schedule a free consultation with me. I'll put a link in the description. You can visit www.bodyyoucrave.com/schedule. Find a time on my calendar, and I'm going to help you really dig in and understand what is going on. We're going to dig into one key area of emotional eating or binge eating so that I can help you gain some awareness and understanding around the pattern, so that you are no longer living in confusion, but you have this keen awareness about what's really happening. Because I promise, this is so much deeper than the last couple months, the last couple of years. There is always a deeper layer and a deeper level. And it's okay if you're not ready for this work. It's okay if you don't want to do this work. But for those of you who are ready, who do want this, and if you're listening to this podcast and you've listened all the way through, you're probably ready. Then my work is for you. Come work with me. I promise. I'm going to help you create a life so good it blows your mind. It's going to feel fun and easy and effortless. Even the weight loss, that even if it's felt like a struggle, even if it's felt hard, I can help you make it easy, make it doable, and help you build the grit and resilience to keep going and to really truly heal and transform your self-concept. All right. This has been quite an episode. Oh, we're like coming up on an hour. All right, y'all. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. Merry Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas, Adam. Here's to creating the life and body you crave.
If you like this episode, then you'll love my free virtual workshop, 5 Keys to End Emotional Eating and Lose Excess Weight for Life. You'll learn the counterintuitive reason why all your attempts to restrict food over the years has actually led to weight gain, and the mental switch you need to flick that'll have you dropping pounds without sacrificing wine, carbs, or the food you love. Get all the details at bodyyoucrave.com.